looking into the word that is found in the first verse, which is verse 19 of Genesis chapter 25, is genealogy of Yitzhak, Abraham's son. Abraham brought forth Yitzhak. But we're looking at the word todot, and the Hebrew word todot is the plural of the Hebrew root word that is used for genealogy, which is toledah. And that is H8435, which means generations, account, genealogical, registration, births, course of history, and comes from the primitive root yalad, which is H3205, to bear, bring forth, begat. So, of course, approaching the Torah portion and reading through it and just praying to the Father and asking in what way and understanding with what I already have in me can I draw from? And of course, in good humor, the first words I hear is you can be like your parents. And so I got a kick out of that because of the fact is in our personal walk, when we reflect, we're either going to reflect a fleshliness or a spiritualness. And we see that ultimately throughout this entire Torah portion, the duality of spirituality. And what's incredible about that is it made me actually reflect on my own family. And going into this, just looking over this, of course, you know me, I'm going to have pictures to share. And ultimately, I'll just put that there for now. But ultimately, what we're looking at is the history. And this gentleman up here is, let me fix this so it's easier to see, is Jacob Hurdle, my great-grandfather. But in relation to the Torah portion and studying where we're at, with Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov coming onto the scene, as we can read. Those are very three important people in our genealogy that we have to look at. And ultimately, we know that Abraham is the forefather of our faith. That there's a uniqueness behind the fact that Yitzhak's genealogy, as it starts off, it's literally starting off as Abraham's son. Abraham brought forth Yitzhak. And we know from Genesis 1 leading up to here, there was plenty of other names mentioned. But what Father Yah is really drawing an emphasis towards is that election, separation, and division. And then ultimately, in Abraham's time, before he adhered to that calling out, he was just as the people of the world at that time. There was no set people that Almighty Yah could really call his own yet to establish that covenant which the promised seed would to come through. And ultimately, that's what we're looking at is descendants, genealogy. Now, of course, like I said, I have mine that I want to relate to share with a little history of the Hurdle family. Because we're looking at the more dominant side of it in the scriptures. And this would be from my dad's side of the family, and ultimately, which is from Germany, Wolfenstein, Germany. Went to Argentina, to California, because this man decided that he wanted better for his family. And then, of course, we have the other two Hurdles, which would be Bob Hurdle and Robert Ray Hurdle. A lot of Roberts going on. I'm the third Robert without the third. We all have different middle names. But, you know, in relation to this, in relation to where we're at in the scriptures, is it made me reflect on the fact of, this is the hard part, of when you look at the brokenness of the flesh and the things that come from it. Because as in the photos that we see, of course, me and my dad, you see smiles within photos. It's enlightening. It brings something unique within us. But, you know, the reality that the true picture paints that life can hold is there's also a lot of brokenness that takes place in people's lives. And I was reflecting on the fact of how amazing it is to be a part of the descendants that we're grafted into, the covenant of promises that we get to receive because of Yeshua Messiah's sacrifice. And, you know, one of the things that had plagued my family's genealogy is divorce. And, you know, being where I'm at now and actually have developed a relationship with the Father and have insight, wisdom, and understanding is detrimental to making sure that that doesn't repeat. But realistically, it's not the defining factor. Because the defining factor is if we want to willingly keep showing up to walk out the personality traits of the Father, which we see throughout Scripture. Because we can come here and put on a face, we can put on a show, we can pretend to be something that we're not, and then reality collapsing on the inside. But ultimately, what we see whenever we look throughout all of this, the reality of duality, the choice that the Father makes, because he already knows beginning from the end and into the beginning, is that it really shows that more is contingent upon spirituality than just because you're born from somebody. Because we're looking at genealogy. We know that Yitzhak is the firstborn Hebrew. Firstborn Hebrew. Abraham, the first called out Hebrew. And of course, Yaakov becomes Israel, first Israelite. And we have these things set into motion for us to look at, because ultimately, across the board, it's just revealing and showing what we have seen in Yeshua's life, that he gives us that access because of his birth status. You know, there's a lot of times where me and my wife might have some disagreements. And I see you smiling. And certain comments get said sometimes, and I'm sure we've heard these comments in our lifetime. You're acting like one of your parents. I'm gonna just use it like that. And you know, in my case, because I'm a so in my case, I'm gonna pick on myself. But you know, unfortunately, my wife hasn't, because we have our setbacks with my family. But when it comes to my dad and his dad, I've heard those words growing up especially. And then, of course, from my own mother, and you know, which they had separated, but you can't separate certain quality traits that carry along. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because if we've read ahead, we're going to see. And I'm just trying to help set the stage of what we're going to walk into. We're going to see that there's going to be fleshly quality traits that are repeated, but also that are overcame. So, these things in mind is what we should be thinking about as I'm giving these examples. But ultimately, whenever we have our disagreements, and my wife might bring up certain traits that honestly that I need improvement in. I'm humble enough. It's weird to always, any time that you kind of consider yourself humble in that aspect, but I'm willing to be humble enough to listen, to realize and relate. And without her even saying it, because I know my dad, I know his dad. And the Father knows. So within me, of course, I hear that small, still voice. You're acting like the wrong dad at the moment. And that's not picking on my biological father, because there are some great quality traits that I inherited from him. But, you know, when I reflect on that, the Scriptures teaches us that we should pray when we enter into teshuvah, to repentance, for our forefathers, for those that are before us. Because these things that we have and walk in are inherited, whether blessing or curse. And it's up to us to decide. But how much greater to be able to become overcomers as Israelites? And so, of course, I'm being reminded of Romans chapter 9, but we'll get there. that we have a Father in the heavenly that shows no partiality, that doesn't have any infirmities or weaknesses that we ultimately have to deal with, that we can rely upon and go to and trust. Because those are key words throughout Scripture that He refers to us as children. And He wants us to refer to Him as a Father. So, usually I know I'm hitting code red whenever the Spirit drops, "Now you're acting like Bob." Because my grandfather out in California he's a little spicy. So, but we have these key indicators that we can resonate with, and hopefully that we can just keep in our minds and realize that the Scriptures, these are real people, that even though we read certain things about them, they all, each, good and bad, however you may want to see them, have feelings, emotions, the same things that we go through, the same decision processing, the same struggles. I mean, just being able to look into Abraham's life and realizing that the father of our faith struggled so much with belief and then overcame that, it's motivating of itself. And ultimately, we're going to see more and more of duality, of spirituality, and the reality that we have to deal with as we continue forward. So, there's a few things that I found absolutely interesting in regards to genealogy. Now, of course, what's so unique about Yitzhak, about Isaac, in comparison to Yeshua, is there's similar traits even to the fact that we only hear a little bit during the younger years, but then there's a gap of growth, and then you don't hear more about him until later. And even that more is really not a whole lot. So we have these things to reflect on, and then ultimately, whenever we look at those things, we should always realize that continuation of the old is the new concealed, and the new is the old revealed. Looking at the significance of the plan that the Father had put forth. So, in reflection of Ishmael and Isaac, we have to ask, why is only one of them considered a Hebrew? And as I made mention earlier, there's certain key factors that the Father is looking for. And it's going to be that spiritualness, the spirituality. Because Ishmael was a Hebrew by birth from his father. But it wasn't an acceptable Hebrew because of his conductivity and his leaning towards the flesh. And ultimately, that's always our defining factors as we look into the genealogy, is that we have to relate to the fact that we could either choose, if we're going to put ourselves in a position to where we're ultimately either still in the family tree or cut off from the family tree. Because ultimately, the Father regards us and our being to Israel as trees and branches, the natural branches, grafted in branches, and all these things that we have to just consider and look at. So, what I found interesting is looking at Yeshua's genealogy. Now let's go to Matthew's chapter 1. I kind of, just to be clairvoyant, I kind of was struggling leading up to this and praying within myself, because in all honesty, this week, this took the majority of my study time, but in prayer, this is one of the things that I was looking at, and I'll put it up here on display. I don't know, it's might be a little hard to see, but let's see. Let me get to Matthew's chapter 1. But this is probably in my walk so far, whenever it comes to digging through scripture and breaking apart words and just really building in Strong's. This is one of the challenging things, because as I was studying, as I was led to this, to just review it and look into it, of course, I would go to different sources to see what was already out there. And as I was studying those sources, they were either not true to all the names, or there was some kind of doctrinal twist that leaned more towards their beliefs. So instead of just throwing it away and being like, man, maybe I was moved to look at this just because I wanted to. But no, I couldn't do that. So with a lot of patience and a lot of time, I sat there and broke it down, each and every single name, prayed over it, and it renders a very beautiful message. And there are other messages out there that paint different pictures, but this one, with the way we've been taught and the way to look at scripture as true to the just definitions of what it means of itself. But these are the genealogy of Yeshua Messiah, son of David, son of Abraham. Abraham brought forth Yitzhak, and Yitzhak brought forth Jacob, and Jacob brought forth Yehuda and his brothers. And Yehuda brought forth Peretz, and Zerah, and Tamar, and Peretz brought forth Hetzron. And Hetzron brought forth Ram, and Ram brought forth Amminadab, and Amminadab brought forth Nashan, and Nashan brought forth Sam, and Sam brought forth Boaz, by Rahab, and Boaz brought forth Obed. By Ruth, and Obed brought forth Yishai. And Yishai brought forth David the sovereign, and David the sovereign brought forth Shlomo, by Uriah's wife. And Shlomo brought forth Rehoboam, and Rehoboam brought forth Abiah, and Abiah brought forth Asa. And Asa brought forth Josaphat, and Josaphat brought forth Joram, and Joram brought forth Uzziah, and Uzziah brought forth Jotham, and Jotham brought forth Ahaz, and Ahaz brought forth Hezekiah, and Hezekiah brought forth Manasseh, and Manasseh brought forth Amon, and Amon brought forth Yoshiahu. And Yoshiahu brought forth Jochanan and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babel. And after the exile to Babel, Jochanan brought forth Shealtiel, and Shealtiel brought forth Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel brought forth Abud, and Abud brought forth Eliakim, and Eliakim brought forth Azor, and Azor brought forth Zadok, and Zadok brought forth Akum, and Akim brought forth Eliud, and Eliud brought forth Eleazar, and Eleazar brought forth Matan, and Matan brought forth Yaakov, and Yaakov brought forth Joseph, the husband of Miriam, who was born Yeshua, who was called Messiah. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations, and from David until exile to Babel were 14 generations, and from exile to Babel until Messiah were 14 generations. That definitely was a mouthful, and I could feel my mouth getting dry, but I'm thankful I didn't stutter a single time. So, praise Yah, because that was him. So, up here, which it does seem a little blurry even on my end. This is, and if anybody is interested, I can share, but it is literally just a simplistic breakdown of each name that leads to that revelation and understanding just through the genealogy of the redemption plan of Almighty Yah. And of course, as we go back through Abraham, father of multitude, Yitzhak, laughter, Yaakov, heel catcher, that is supplanter, Yehuda, celebrated, Peretz, break or breach or breaking forth, Zerach, a rising light, Tamar, to be erect, Chetzron, which is courtyard, Ram, high. Aminadab, people of liberty. Nachshon, enchanter. Salmon, which is investor, and I had to pull the definition up because I didn't know what investor meant, but ultimately it is a promotion of rank. It is a moving from one position to a higher. Boaz, I had to use Thayer's definition, which is another tool other than the Strong's or Brown Driver's Briggs, which is, in him is strength. Rachab, proud. Obed, serving. Yeshai, extent, which I also had to look up extent because I wasn't too sure, but it's just literally existence or existing or surviving. David, loving. And if further broken down, it leads to a passionate love, a very passionate love. Shlomo is peaceful. Uriah, flame of Yah. Rechabam, a people has enlarged. Abiyah, which is father of Yah in the sense of a worshiper, the worshiper of Yah. Asa, which could be physician or a cure. Jehoshaphat, Jehovah judged. Yehoram, Jehovah raised. Uzziah, strength of Yah. Yotham, Jehovah is perfect. Achaz, possessor. My goodness. Hezekiah, it looks so much more difficult and it's broken down this. It says, strength of Yah. Manasseh, causing to forget. Amon is a skilled architect or builder. Yoshiah, founded of Yah. Yochanah, Yah will establish. Shealatiel, I have asked Yah. Zerubbabel, descendant of, that is Babylon, from Babylon. Abadud is father, that is a possessor of renown. Father of the renown, or the possessor of the renown. Elohim, God of raising, Yah of raising. Azur is helpful. Zadik, just. Yehoiakim, Yehovah will rise. Elud, Yah, his praise. Eleazar, God is helper. Yah is helper. Matan, a present. Yaakov, hill catcher, that is supplanter. It could also mean further broken down, one that overcomes. Yosef, let him add. Miriam, rebelliously. And then Yehoshua, Jehovah saved. So, this was absolutely incredible. And I absolutely enjoyed every second of this. I took my time and reviewed it over and over and just thanked the Father. Because it would have been, like I said, it would have been much easier just to find someone that did the legwork and just feed off of it and review it and test it. But I couldn't. The father of a multitude laughs at the heel catcher and celebrates his breaking forth of his rising light that will erect his courtyard, the kingdom from on high, freeing his people from the enchanter. While promoting him, Yeshua, with his strength, proudly serving the self-existing one, with burning passion, he peacefully sacrifices himself for a people that enlarges the Father and worship of Yah, curing us through his judgment and his Son being raised, will show us Jehovah's might and perfection in the one who possesses Jehovah's strength. We once forgot the creator of our foundation, but Yah will establish a flowing away from confusion and self-seeking. The Elohim of raising up is helpful, and Yah will raise with praise, helps us with the gift to supersede death by adding the one who rebels against sin, Yeshua Messiah, Yah saves. And that was one of those moments where I was laying in bed at midnight, and out of respect towards my wife, I had to muffle my hallelujah, because it's so exciting to press forward in prayer and just ask the Father. Because ultimately, in my prayer time in genealogy, at first my mind didn't go to Matthew's one. I was just trying to focus on the area that we're in at that moment. But the reality is, the area that we're in at that moment is literally the entire area, Genesis to Revelations, the entire walk of the way. And I'm so thankful for that revelation and that understanding to share. And but ultimately, we see that Isaac, in this part of the process, is part of this beautiful plan that Almighty Yah has set forth throughout the generations for us to take hold to and hold on to know who He is. Just bear with me for the brief pauses as I navigate through this this course that I have in front of me. Now, of course, on verse 1 of Matthew's 1, also of itself is a straight-to-the-point title in the names that are provided. Because it says, the book of genealogy of Yeshua Messiah, son of David, son of Abraham. And as the names were given and their meaning, just those three names together alone literally spells out the loving Father of a multitude gave us His salvation through His Son. And that's the heading of all these names listed in that genealogy. So that was the quickest way to go through. But, you know, ultimately what we're looking at is that principle that we see, that Father Yah establishes the genealogy according to spirituality, even though we have the physical. Well, He declares through spirituality, the genealogy is for the physical. And let's go to Romans chapter 9 in regard to the election process according to the Spirit. Because ultimately, that's what we're going to be looking at through this breakdown as He continually separates, divides, and elects. And in Romans 9, starting with verse 1, Shaul was speaking, I speak the truth in Messiah, I do not lie. My conscience is also bearing me witness in the set-apart spirit, that I have great sadness and continued grief in my heart. For I myself could have wished to be banished from Messiah for the sake of my brothers, my relatives according to the flesh, who are the children of Israel, to whom the adoption and the esteem and the covenants and the giving of the Torah and the worship and the promises, whose are the fathers and from whom is the Messiah according to the flesh. Over is all, Elohim blessed forever, amen. However, it is not as though the word of Elohim has failed, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Neither are they all children because they are of the seed of Abraham, but in Yitzhak your seed shall be called. And that's something that we recently very much looked into detail in regards to Ishmael versus Yitzhak. Even though both were technically born Hebrews, the true Hebrew is established by the word of the Father. And ultimately, with that being said, this is what I find pretty interesting is, in my prayer time and reviewing, and considering the duality, as I was sitting there in that small, still voice, all I heard was, first man Adam, last man Adam. I don't know if that rings a bell for anyone, but I wasn't here for that. 2014, I believe, is when the message was put forth. And I'm sure at some point in these blessed 7 years and on my way to eight, that someone dropped that towards me at some point. And it was just there. And of course, I recognized that the Father was leading me to go listen. And I listened to the first service of that teaching, first man Adam, last man Adam. And it just literally shouts the reality of duality and the breaking down of the spirituality. And I wanted to share what I was able to gather from that. And, you know, it began in 1 Corinthians 15, 45 through 49. And it is, and so it has been written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, and the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual, however, was not the first, but the natural. And afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, earthy. The second man is the master from heaven. As is the earthy, so also are those who are earthy. And as is the heavenly, so also those who are heavenly. And as we have become, as we have borne the likeness of the earthy, we shall also bear the likeness of the heavenly. And which is absolutely incredible, because it's like I said, I wasn't there for that teaching. And Almighty Yah wanted me to go and listen. And I listened. And you could literally hear that literal lesson that we're going to be looking at throughout this Torah portion is a super key for us to make sure as we look at the history that we're constantly being reminded of the duality that takes place. Because if we're not, if we allow that fleshly mind to take over, then ultimately we're going to subject ourselves to having a certain mindset that we can see the majority of the world falls to, and I'm sure at times we're challenged with, is that we'll look at certain people groups or certain current events that's happening in the world, and we'll naturally want to see justice according to our own eyes be distributed upon them. But we were charged by Messiah for a very good reason, to pray for our enemy, to love our enemy, and to do these certain things and make sure that we stand and guard well. Because if we don't, then ultimately, we're not seeing the duality. We're just falling subject to the fleshliness of it all. But what was a major helper in listening also is in John chapter 1, when it was broken down that the Word was with Elohim in the beginning, and just replaced that with the plan, because of how much, you know, doctrine could have built around that wording. But in reality, when you look at it, He always wants us to realize that the whole purpose of all these things being set forth is going to continually always meld and mold itself to the redemption plan process. Through Abraham, through Yitzhak, through Yisrael, and through the descendants. Because ultimately, that's what we're part of. That's what we're grafted in. We're in that genealogy. And that's our history. And what I'm being reminded of, what I found incredible, is just the fact of changing the word to the plan. It literally reminds you the fact that everything else, whenever it speaks of that He was with Him in the beginning, and these things were established, and through all creation, it was created through Him. It was created through the plan. Because He wasn't going to just start this process, knowing what direction it was going, without that redemption plan. And of course, what I found interesting is whenever the word came to Abraham in a vision, you know, I just put the plan came to Abraham in a vision there, and it also even there fits and makes more sense that it's just literally, because I've seen and listened to the different doctrines out there trying to make Yeshua a time traveler or some kind of, and you know, other sorts that I'm sure we're all familiar with. But it's incredible to realize that when you realize that scripture has to fit the meld to all to every aspect, and the fact of literally the duality of spirituality and reality, it's got to be across the board entirely. And another example that I wanted to look at in regards to that is in Colossians chapter 1, 15 through 23. Who is the likeness of the invisible Elohim, the firstborn of all creation? In regards to Yeshua. Because in him were created all that are in the heavens and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or rulerships or principalities or authorities, all have been created through him and for him. And he is before all, and in him all hold together. And he is the head of the body, the assembly, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that he might become the one who is first in all. Because in him all the completeness was well pleased to dwell, and through him completely restore to favor all unto himself, whether on earth or in the heavens, having made peace through the blood of his stake. And you, who were once estranged and enemies in the mind by wicked works, but now he has completely restored to favor in the body of his flesh through death, to present you set apart and blameless and unreprovable before him. If indeed you continue in the belief, founded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the expectation of the good news which you heard, which was proclaimed to every creature under the heaven, of which I shall will became a servant. And that was just in reflection to the fact that Almighty Yah's redemption plan that was set forth for us is literally so that way we can continue in it and draw from it. And we ultimately see that process taking place through the genealogies. But slowly but surely, moving forward to verse 20 of Genesis chapter 25. And Yitzhak was 40 years old when he took Rivkah as a wife, the daughter of Bethuel the Arameen, of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban the Arameen. Now, in the start of this, we see a key number, 40. And as Brother Chad brought up during Wednesday night Bible study, that 40 is a representation of our testing, time of testing. And, you know, what I found interesting enough is that here it's speaking about Yitzhak was 40 years old when he took Rivkah as a wife. And now we keep in mind that we are the bride of Messiah. That ultimately, as Messiah went through his life, his ministry began at 30 years old. 3 years of accomplishing the greatest task until crucifixion, leaving 7 years. And then it started making me think. Literally 33 years, leaving 7 to meet 40, is the 7 marker, the 7,000th. And that's whenever he comes back for his bride. So, of course, I'm smiling ear to ear because I was like, that's pretty neat. I like that. Because Almighty Yah does confirm his plan within numbers also. And he's always looking for different ways to give us that confirmation. And of course, it was at 37 years of age whenever Yitzhak was on the mountaintop with his father, Abraham, in the time of sacrifice. So 3 years of accomplishment to meet the bride also, and to work with the bride. But in light of testing, what Brother Chad brought up during Bible study Wednesday night was Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. And ultimately, this should be very familiar for us, is that whenever Messiah was led into that wilderness, it was 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry. And of course, as we remember, it was 40 years in the wilderness for Israel and a time of testing. The difference maker is, as we know, it was supposed to only be 40 days, but because of their stubbornness and lack of willingness to listen to the Father, it turned into 40 years of testing. And that's something that we ultimately should draw from and realize that it's up to us on how long we want to prolong our suffering with certain things in our life. But of course, as Matthew reads, then Yeshua was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness and tried by the devil, and after having fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the trier came and said to him, "If you are the Son of Elohim, command that these stones become bread." But he answering said, "It has been written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of Jehovah." Then the devil took him up into the set-apart city, set him on the edge of the set-apart place, and said to him, "If you are the Son of Elohim, throw yourself down, for it has been written, he shall command his messengers concerning you, and in their hands they shall bear you up so that you do not dash your foot against a stone." Yeshua said to him, "It has also been written, you shall not try Jehovah your Elohim." Again, the devil took him up on a very high mountain and showed him all the reins of the world and their esteem. And he said to him, "All these I shall give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Yeshua said to him, "Go, Satan, for it has been written, you shall worship Jehovah your Elohim, and him alone you shall serve." Then the devil left him, and see, the messengers came and attended him. And interestingly enough, if we keep reading, the synopsis that takes place after these events, literally from the genealogy to the testing at the 40 days and 40 nights, then the very next thing says he begins his ministry, and then the very next thing is he starts defining the disciples. And of course, we know, and I feel like I'm getting ahead, but the 12 disciples should reflect the 12 tribes also. And in the sense of the building up of the multitude and this cyclical event seeming to, as time goes forth, faster and faster and faster, completing to the process of what the Father has for us in the future. Because all the way till now, we are the byproducts of what was done in these events. And we should see ourselves in that light. But looking at Rivka, which Brother Scott had broken down so incredibly last Torah portion, we can refer back to the slides. Here we go, slide 14. Rivka is 7259 Strong's, and as we learn, it means ensnarer, which is from an unused root that could probably mean to clog by, tying up the fetlock. And if for some reason nobody heard Brother Scott's message on the fetlock, as he said, if he was a horse. This would be where the fetlock's at. And which it was absolutely incredible to realize, because we know that Rebecca was a workhorse. She went after it. I mean, performance, high tier level. Very important to her family and the culture, as Pastor had made mention about how important it is to realize the in-depthness of the culture and the time, which I didn't see until it was brought up, of how important her role was and why her price was so expensive. Well, worth the expense. But of course, Abraham, blessed upon blessed, expense wasn't a problem. So, and it continues with its root, marbake, which could mean stall, fatted, which ultimately should give us the image of increase and wealth and good health, good spirituality. Slide 15, she was a shepherdess and took great care of the flock and animals of her father, whose name was Bethuel, which means man of El, Nahor, which means snorting, Milcah, which means queen. And Nahor was the brother of Abraham. So, in regards to verse 20, we notice there's a great emphasis on the cultural name of where they're from and where Abraham was from. Armenians. Aram, Armenians. And that's another beautiful picture that's being painted for us, is that ultimately the father who called out an Armenian to become one who crossed over, the first Ebri, the first Hebrew, was set apart, taught and brought up to bring forth a son, the firstborn Hebrew, that ultimately was to receive a bride from amongst Abraham's people, to bring out of that people and to bring in and become a Hebrew. And we can relate to that, that beauty of that essence, is because us ourselves, as we've been going through this journey and learning and growing with one another, we don't have to look too far in a cultural sense to realize that we were taking out of a lot of different traditions and a lot of different things that were cultural in regards to obedience to the Father. Crossing over to be true Hebrews that are Israelites, because the covenant has been established for us to be established with it. But also what I've been enjoying about what we've been learning is the importance, which I didn't see until Pastor brought it up, but the importance to realize and recognize the approach towards that going back for a people of the people. Just because we have been set apart doesn't mean our approach should be anything less than the expectancy of the Father's love towards others. Because that bride price that was paid for us, that got us to where we're at, He wants us to be in a position to where we're able to be amongst what we once were, to be able to bring in more just by the love and by the respect and reverence towards the Father without compromise. Because I know sometimes certain bowls smell good. Crawfish, crabs. It's all in the seasoning. So, yeah. But, you know, and I want to relate to that as we're speaking about it and reflecting on verse 20, is, you know, a lot of my test comes from work. And being that I work for the parish, there's a lot of festivities, cultural festivals that take place, and either they want me to work it or go be a part of the bowl off or whatever the activity may be. And I don't sit there and deny, because I ain't eating none of that. Come on, I'm a child of Most High. Let me show you what them Leviticus food laws is at. No. The reason I don't take part in it is because it's on Shabbat. But in reality, if I had the opportunity and it wasn't, just to be amongst people and be that light without compromise, so be it. Because I love the Father enough not to disobey his commands to the best of my ability. I'm going to be real because I struggle. Jacob, Israel. There's a struggle that takes place. But it's that fine-tuned balance that we have to walk out, that we realize that we're in a position of temptation at every corner, but continually seeking the Father in obedience. And what's incredible about that is literally, he has it in his word if you look deep enough and you seek him enough. And that's been my prayer lately, is that he begin to open my mind in a way it hasn't been opened in this growing process. Because my wife can attest to this. There's so many times where in prayer or in conversation, I tell her, I just want to have all the information so that way I can bring it forth and pour into his people that are hungry for it and that want to grow from it. But of course, I still have to grow myself. And that's the realistic part. Because if I'm not reminded by the Father of that, then I'll start to put unrealistic expectations upon myself, unnecessary pressure. And but in all reality, I could feel the growth, and I'm thankful for that. Amen. Thank you. And you know, one of the other prayers that I've also been praying, and the reason that I'm bringing this forth in this moment is because I want y'all to be in agreement with me. But I've been praying that he give me the same passion and compassion that Messiah has. Because the thing is, Scripture charges and tells us, you have not because you ask not. But if you ask with a heart selfishly seeking, then you still will be denied. That's a key part. Because then that makes you reflect in yourself, why do you want what you want? And that has helped me grow also. Because more and more as my life goes on, I want to make sure that I'm looking like Israel. I want to make sure that I'm looking like a Hebrew. But not up until the point where I just completely shut out where I came from. And ultimately, this is a lot of what we're able to draw from this Torah portions, from the generations, from that redemption plan being walked out through our forefathers and foremothers. And I know that might seem like a short end and a short stop of time, but I'm gonna go ahead and pause it here as we continue forward, because I didn't want to just continue for the sake of continuing, because with all the information that I've been walking through lately,